Amen. Do take your seats again. Turn again, please, to Luke 17. My text for this morning is verse 18. Although we need to read verse 17 to just get the context as well. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 claims? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger." The Gospel of Luke is the only Gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke is the only Gospel writer who records the incident before us from verse 12 to verse 19. You'll not read about it in Matthew or Mark or John. And yet, in recording this incident where 10 lepers were healed and cleansed, Luke has recorded for us another incident from the life of Christ that sets before us another component of the commended life. That's what we've been considering. Commendations of Christ, aspects of people's lives whom He met that He either saved or they were saved, and He commended them publicly on occasion. And we're saying that if we want to live a life that is pleasing to Christ and the Father, then we will strive to these characteristics in our lives. And in verse 18, what you find is that the Lord Jesus commended the praise, the thanksgiving. Verse 16 says, He giving Him, the leper was giving Him thanks. And the Lord is commending this leper for his thanksgiving toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, another one of the component parts of a commendable life. We have great faith. We have great love. We have devotion to God's Word. We have sacrificial giving to the Lord. We have this great statement of the Son of God that Peter made. All these aspects. And now we bring another one to the fore. And it is the Christian ought to be one who is constantly giving thanks unto the Lord Jesus. The incident started with a meeting. You'll see it in verse 11 and 12. It came to pass as He, the Lord Jesus, went to Jerusalem. He's heading to Jerusalem for the last time. He's making His journey there. It says, and He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The word "in the midst" could be translated, and if you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see it, between Samaria and Galilee. The Lord, there were those who wanted to apprehend Him and arrest Him there and then. And so He was taking the indirect route. He was going along the border area where He could perhaps avoid some of the larger crowds and the people, particularly His opponents. We might therefore say that in one sense, as He came to this certain village and 10 lepers met Him, it could be viewed, humanly speaking, as a chance meeting. Had the Lord gone the direct route, He would not have met these men. But I just want to remind you, dear child of God, there's no such thing as chance meetings in the life of the believer. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And the Lord is leading and directing our ways. And though things might happen that aren't according to our plan, or we might think, well, I wasn't expecting that, it doesn't take the Lord by surprise. And the Lord had ordained that He would meet these men. It started with a meeting, but it centered upon the miracle. The 10 men were lepers. Leprosy was that contagious disease. It gave a very painful, agonizing, and certain death. And so contagious was it that the leper had to live outside the city, often in a cave or some colony outside the city. They were not allowed into general or daily life among those that were free from leprosy. And as they come to the Lord, they cry unto Him, and the Savior told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it wasn't until they obeyed Him that they were cleansed. You know, there's a lesson there for sinners. You see, the Lord says to the sinner, if you believe the gospel and repent of your sin, you will be saved. And there is a balance between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And while salvation is of the Lord, the sinner must respond to the message of Christ. And it's only when the sinner responds, when the sinner believes and repents, that they will be cleansed and they will be saved. And when these lepers, they made their way to find the priest, then they noticed the leprosy had left them and they were healed. It's a picture of cleansing from sin and the new birth. They literally received a new body. Leprosy it was a living death. The members of the body, they literally died before the individual died. Often their limbs, their fingers and toes especially, would decay, and it was a living death of those members. But when they were healed, they literally had a new body. And when a man or woman is born again, they have a new nature within, born again of the Spirit of God. And that's the picture. It started with a meeting. It centered on a miracle, but it finished with a message. And what was that message? When this one leper who wasn't a Jew, he was a Samaritan, he noticed that he was healed, he returned, turned from going to find the priest, and he returned unto the Lord, fell down on his face at His feet, so on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. And then, verse 17 and 18, the Savior commends him. He commends him in those words, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he's commending the stranger, the Samaritan leper, who returned to give the Lord thanks. I wonder, do we thank and praise the Lord for His mercies and blessings as much and as regular as we ought to? Giving thanks unto God and unto Christ is commended by the Savior and ought to be a mark of the believer throughout their lives. And therefore, from this commendation, I want to set a number of things before you. I want you to see firstly, and want to think for a little while firstly, that there is something to lament in this commendation. There's something that saddens us. And I think, in all reality, it saddened the Savior. Because in verse 17, He asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And I think in those words, the Lord, while He was commending and acknowledging the one, as He did in verse 18, yet He is also lamenting a lack of praise. There were 10 cleansed, but only one returned to lift up his voice and give Jesus Christ the glory. It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit, for Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And I think in this situation we see that there was something of a grief within the Savior's heart, because there were more received benefit from Him and blessing from Him than praised Him for it. And I want you to see a couple of things here as we think about this lamentation of the Savior. Where are the nine? It is possible to be cleansed by Christ and yet not praise and thank the Lord as we ought. Look at verse 14. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Every one of them. Every one of them was cleansed. All 10 of them. The Lord didn't discriminate. And He didn't say, well, there's 9 Jews there, we'll cleanse them, we'll leave the Samaritan to say. All called on the Lord. All were cleansed. And isn't it wonderful to think the Lord can save by the many? He cleansed 10 at once. I've often heard the older folk in the congregation, and they remember nights, and I was going to say this house, I suppose it was this house, but it was the old building when the gospel was preached, and there were many who came out to seek counsel in the one night. And many, there are those, and I have heard it myself, they've said they were saved at a certain meeting, and I know that there were others who have said they were saved at the same meeting. And here is an example that the Lord cleansed 10 men in the one situation or circumstance. And the Lord can save by the many as well as by the few. Today, if we have one saved in a meeting, my word, jumping for joy. But oh, may the Lord send again the days where the 10 are cleansed at once. But all 10 of those men were cleansed, and yet only one returned to give personal public thanks unto the Lord. Dear child of God, I'm speaking to the Christian just at this moment in time, and I'm saying when the Lord saved you, He cleansed your heart from the leprosy of sin. And it is possible to be cleansed and yet to get into a spirit where we seldom give thanks to God for anything. May it not be so. May we ever be a people giving thanks unto God for all His benefits and all His blessings. I want you to see something else from this lament. It's not only possible to be cleansed and not to praise the Lord, it is possible to pray to Christ, to receive answers to prayer from Christ, and yet not praise Him for them. These men are an example and an illustration of prayer. In fact, they could teach us, they teach us much about prayer, how to pray unto the Lord, how to approach Him, how to receive answers from prayer. We could say they prayed immediately. Look at verse 12. As He entered into a certain village. Now that's important, because the lepers weren't allowed into the village. If they'd have gone in, they'd have been stoned. They'd have been chased out with boulders and stones, for they would infect others with leprosy. And they knew, this is our moment. He's not in the village. He's going in. We've got to get to Him before He gets in. And so they prayed immediately. They saw an opportunity and they brought it to the Lord. And that's how we should pray. We should, when there's a matter on our mind and we see it and we know there's an opportunity to bring it before the Lord, we should get it to the Lord straight away. They prayed immediately. They called on Him immediately. They called on Him humbly. Verse 12 says, they stood afar off. They recognized that they were polluted with leprosy, and they could not come near unto the Lord or anyone else, and so they stood afar off and they called unto Him. They realized who and what they were. And dear child of God, we are brought nigh by Christ, but in our sin we realize that we're only sinners saved by grace, and we come to Him as sinners saved by grace. They prayed immediately and humbly. They prayed earnestly. Look at verse 13. It tells us they lifted up their voices. they were going to be heard. And there's a sense now the Lord hears us whether we whisper or whether we raise our voice. And sometimes I think we can fall into the trap that we have to golder for God to hear us. That's not the case. Sometimes we get stirred up and there's passion and zeal and intensity in our souls, and we get so taken up we do lift our voices. But the point is this: the Lord hears us whether we speak loudly or quietly. But the thought with the lepers that day was this, that they wanted to make sure the Lord heard their voices. And so they cried out earnestly. They cried out that he might hear. And then they cried reverently because they called Jesus Master in verse 13. Jesus Master, or as it is, Teacher. They acknowledged who he was. He wasn't just some other individual. He was the Lord from heaven, the Master, the Teacher. Nicodemus said, Master, we know that thou art one who has come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God has sent him. And by calling Jesus Master, they were acknowledging who he was. And then they called on him definitely, have mercy upon us. What was that? That cry of mercy on them really was to heal them. They recognized he could meet their need. Have mercy upon us. Heal us from our leprosy. Help us in our situation. And they prayed successfully, for verse 14 says, they were cleansed. I'm saying these men, my, what a model they are for prayer. They prayed in the right way. They prayed the right thing. They got the answer from Jesus, but nine of them didn't return to give God the thanks. Do we note when prayer is answered to return and give God the thanks for it? It's possible to be cleansed by Christ and not praise him as we ought. It's possible to pray to Christ, to receive answers from him and not praise him as we ought. It's possible to observe religious ceremony, aye, biblical ceremony. I'm not talking about some unbiblical ritual in the name of religion. It's possible to observe biblical religious ceremonies and not praise the Lord as we ought to. Because in verse 14 it tells us, the Lord says, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, I believe the children were learning about this on Friday night in the children's meeting. And I know that Dr. Douglas referred to it in our last communion sermon. Brought us to Leviticus 14. That if a man had leprosy, he was to show him to the priest. The priest was to declare he had leprosy, and then he was to be excluded from the town or the village. But if the man was cleansed from leprosy, and it was very rare, but if he was to go and show himself to the priest again, the priest would examine him. He would shut him up so many days, would bring him back, and if he was clear from the leprosy, sacrifice was offered. The blood was applied to his ear, his finger, his large toe, and the oil was placed upon it as well. It was a symbol of the cleansing of the blood and the imparting of the Holy Spirit. And these men went their way to do as the Lord had commanded. It was a biblical Old Testament ceremony that had to be before God observed by the lepers who were cleansed, and they were going their way to do it. And it's possible to be involved and to fulfill the outward ceremonies of religion and yet not thank and praise the Lord as we ought. Bring that into a New Testament setting. The Lord has instructed us to gather together as a church, to sing praise, to have the word read, to have it preached, to take the emblems at the Lord's table, to do in remembrance of him. We can go through all the outward motions, and yet there could be a lack of praise within our hearts emanating to the Lord. Why should we lament over our own lack of praise? Well, there's a number of reasons. it's a mark of the ungodly. A lack of thanksgiving is a mark of the ungodly. The Apostle Paul said such to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1, he says that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And one of the marks of the ungodly is they're not only a selfish people, but they're an unthankful people. And you know, God's people, to use the words of the Lord to Jeremiah, the portion of Jacob is not like them. We should not live like the ungodly. And therefore, we should be rendering praise and thanksgiving to God. But not only should we lament over a lack of praise because it's the mark of the ungodly, but praise is the theme of heaven. We sang that hymn based on Revelation chapter 5. And it's a sing from heaven in verse 11 and 12, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and earth, praise is the theme, thanksgiving is the theme of heaven. You know, someday our service here on earth will end. Someday our praying here on earth will end. But yet we'll join the company in heaven and we'll praise Him and we'll thank Him and we'll continue to thank Him and praise Him. Worthy is the Lamb throughout all eternity. And therefore, friends, we say that the praise of Christ and thanksgiving to Christ should also be our work on earth, and it should not be neglected. Read recently, there was a well-known Scottish preacher, Alexander White, has many writings. And he tells a story one day of how he went to visit, I'm sorry, ladies, it was a lady in the congregation, but no doubt it could have been a man, and maybe many of the men would have fallen into the same category. And White tells of how, in conducting that visit, all he listened to was complaints. He testifies how the lady complained about everything. She complained about society and the community. She complained about the church. She complained about Christians. She complained about the world at large. And the Scottish minister listened for so long. And eventually, as he concluded the pastoral visit, he deliberately said, I'm going to read from Psalm 103. He read the first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And my friends, there's much we could complain about. There's much we could perhaps find genuine fault in. But as God's people, we should never forget the benefits we have in Christ, and we should be constantly praising and thanking the Lord for His benefits and His blessings to us. Forget not all His benefits, and may our souls bless the Lord with all that is within us. May we bless and thank His holy name. There's something to lament. Where are the nine? But then, secondly, this morning, to say there's something to learn. You see, the leper who was cleansed has much to teach us about praise. And I should actually say and point out, he didn't sing. Now, singing is praise, and we like good singing, and we encourage good singing. But sometimes we fall into this, the mistake of thinking that it's only singing that is praise. And it is evident in this giving of thanks that the leper did not sing, but rather verse 16 says, he fell down at his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. This was thanksgiving. And the reason why I use praise is because verse 18, the Savior says, there are not found that return to give glory to God. So this thanksgiving was giving glory to God. And he wasn't singing. So singing is part of praise, but we give glory to God in adoration and humiliation and in a declaration from our lips. There was adoration of the Savior. There was humiliation of self when he bowed down before the Lord, and there was a declaration from his lips. And what was and what did that declaration involve? Well, there are a number of things about it we can learn from. It was a public declaration. Verse 15, it was there as the Lord entered into the village, but I'm thinking particularly of that phrase in verse 15, a loud voice. He turned back and with a loud voice. Do you see the phrase loud voice? It's the Greek word from which we get the English word megaphone. I'll not pronounce, well, maybe I will. Phonus megales, I think. And if that's the wrong Greek pronunciation, Samuel can correct me on the way out this morning. But you can see where you can recognize the likeness, megaphone. It was with a loud voice. He wanted everyone to hear. He wasn't ashamed that anyone would hear. This was public thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now, we are to privately praise the Lord in our private prayers. And there's times, I don't know about you, but there's times I'm just going about the house, or maybe I'm in the car, sometimes in the car, and sometimes even when I'm walking the wee dog up the Guildford Road. And sometimes I'm singing away to myself within, and maybe my lips are moving. And I remember just coming up to one of the road ends, and there was actually folk from the congregation who stopped at the road end. They said, how are you doing? And I said, you probably think I'm mad because you probably see my lips moving. I said, I was singing to myself. And this is what we didn't actually notice it. But maybe you're like me. You go about, and in your private times, you're maybe talking to the Lord. Or you're maybe singing to yourself. And that's private praise. And the Lord sees it and he knows all about it and he rejoices in it. But there's a difference with private praise and public praise. And the Lord is looking for public praise. I think it was Psalm 35. I'm going from memory. Is it Psalm 35 and verse 18? When the psalmist said, if I've got this wrong, no, I've got it right. My memory's okay. The psalmist said, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. And there's the idea. There's a sense that, yes, we're to praise the Lord privately, but he's looking for us to be in the congregation of his people to give public praise. Oh, may we never be ashamed to be found among God's people. May we find it as our duty to be among God's people and lift up our voice in prayer when the minister's praying, or in the public prayer meeting, in the time of singing, to praise and thank the Lord. You know, there's victory in public praise. I wasn't actually going to mention this. I had it in my notes, and I thought, is that part really as relevant as I thought it was? And one of the elders prayed over this very verse in the prayer meeting before the service, 2 Chronicles 20 and the verse 22. And there, the people were, the Moab and Mount Seir had come against them, and they thought they were going to lose the battle. And it says, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. when the people, they praised the Lord, and the Lord set ambushments against the enemy, and they were smitten, and God's people knew victory. Oh, dear child of God, don't take me up wrong when I say this, because it's not said in a spirit of criticism, but maybe if we did less complaining and more praising, we'd experience more victories for the Lord. That public praise, the whole congregation, the army, they praised the Lord and the Lord gave them the victory. May that spirit be in our hearts and in our congregation. May this be a people of praise and a congregation of praise that will ever come with thanksgiving before the Lord. It was public. Can I say that it was appointed praise, because it was, and I accept, I've touched on this a little, so we'll not spend too much time on it, but it says that verse 15 and 17, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, Jesus said in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? And it was for his cleansing. That was the whole point of his thanksgiving. You know, if we have nothing else to thank, and I'm talking to God's people, if you have nothing else to thank the Lord for, should the bank balance be in the red? Should there be no food in the cupboard? Should your life be problematic with great trials and troubles in the common things of life? I tell you, we can still lift up our voice and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. My sins are forgiven. My soul is cleansed. And as God looks down upon me, he sees me as white in his sight. He sees me as forgiven, as justified, accepted, an heir of heaven and all the blessings of the gospel. And I think it was Habakkuk, the verse, the chapter and verse, I think it's chapter 2, it might be verse 18, talks about it, though the storehouse be empty, and though the cattle don't bring forth their young, basically saying though they've nothing of this world's goods, said he would still rejoice in the Lord for the goodness the Lord had given to him. What a spirit, what an attitude. And it's interesting that the Lord, and let me just pick up on this. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Do you know, the Lord was looking. He's actually looking for his people, those that are cleansed, to give him thanks for that cleansing. He's looking for it. And he's looking for you, dear child of God, to return and give him thanks for the cleansing of the soul. And let me highlight this. Not only was it public and was it pointed, but it was a priority. Verse 15. Look at the phrase, he turned back. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Now, he had to go to the priest. If he was to be declared clean, if he was to live among the people of that village and to be restored, didn't matter, he was a Samaritan. He had to show himself to the priest. But he turned back before he went to the priest to give thanks to God. And it emphasizes the priority that thanksgiving unto God should have in the life of the believer. The Lord, in the spirit of prophecy, in some of the Psalms, and Psalm 40 is one of them, he speaks about certain things being more important than burnt sacrifice and offerings. And while we must publicly avail of the means of grace for the edification of our souls, some things are even more important. And if we come in to the means of grace in the wrong spirit, then they will not be the benefit and blessing to us they ought to be. And I think the lesson here is this, that the spirit of praise and thanksgiving should be the priority as we then come to engage in the outward means and form of biblical religion. May the Lord grant that to us. I could say also it was personal. It didn't matter that the nine others went on their way. This one leper returned. And he personally made sure he praised the Lord. Don't look up what others do or are not doing. We need to get beyond that in our Christian life and experience. And we need to look after ourselves and make sure we personally are rendering unto the Lord what He's looking from us. There's something to lament. There was something to learn. Let me say, and I'll just summarize my third point in closing. There's something to long for, and it is the commendation of Christ. Because there in verse 18, in those words, there are not found that return to give God the glory, save this stranger. And the Lord's picking him out, just pointing him out for praise. This stranger was the only one that returned to give God the glory, and therefore he's commending him. And again, I say, just in closing, isn't that what we desire from the Lord? His commendation upon our lives. I'll close with Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. It reads like this: by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I'm going to read that again. Verse 15, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, that is by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's to be the spirit of our lives and the manifestation from our life. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. We're to constantly bless and thank the Lord from our lips, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For now, note the end of verse 16, for with such sacrifices. Listen to, as we close, may the Lord burn these words into our hearts. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. You want to please God? You want to please God in your life? Then here is something that pleases God. The sacrifice of praise to God continually from our lips. That pleases God. And that's why the Lord commended the stranger that returned to give him thanks with a loud voice. Phonas megales, megaphone, with a loud voice. He praised God for cleansing his soul. And if you follow his example, you will please God and you will be commended by the Lord. May the Lord.